Mr. Romero, could you please state your name and ABC number for the record?
Brandon Richard Romero, and my number is 204524.
Thank you, sir, and good morning.
Good morning to you.
You are appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing concerning the three alleged violations that are listed on your warrant. And I see you were notified about this hearing on March 15th. You signed a form that day. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
Okay, and on that form is a list of your hearing rights. And one of your rights is you could hire at your expense an attorney to represent you. Did you hire an attorney today, or will you be representing yourself?
I'll be representing myself, ma'am.
Okay, thank you so much. I would like to introduce you to the members of the board. If you look to your right, my left, starting at the end of the bench, is the Honorable Louis Quinones. Next to him, the Honorable David Neal. Right next to me here in the middle is our board chairman, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright. To my right here is the Honorable Michael Johnson, and my name's Gail Rittenhouse. I'll be your panel chair today. Also with us in the room, we have Mr. Oliveri, who, where you can see Mr. Oliveri now, he is with the Department of Corrections, so he'll represent the department and your parole officer in today's hearing.
Okay.
So, Mr. Romero and Mr. Oliveri, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm?
Yes, I do.
I do.
Thank you. So, Mr. Romero, your hearing will be conducted in two phases, with phase one to determine if you violated the conditions of supervision, and then phase two to determine if that supervision should be reinstated or revoked. So, for phase one of the hearing, I'm going to read each of these allegations to you, and I need you to tell me if they are true or false. So, and then if you believe in allegation is false, we'll ask Mr. Oliveri for his testimony, and then the board will make a determination as to whether you violated your conditions. Okay, so you understand the process?
Yes, I do.
Okay, good. We'll start phase one then, sir, and I'll read you the first allegation, which is that you were in violation of condition number 7, as demonstrated by your use of alcohol on or about December 6, 2017, for the task lab report dated December 11th, 2017. Mr. Romero, is this true or false?
This is true.
Okay, sir. Allegation number 2 is that you were in violation of condition number 7, as demonstrated by your use of alcohol on or about February 9th, 2018, per the task lab report dated February 11th, 2018. Mr. Romero, is that true or false?
That is true as well.
Okay. And then allegation number 3 is that you were in violation of condition number 7, as demonstrated by providing a urine specimen that was adulterated by dilution and unsuitable for testing on or about February 9th, 2018, per the task lab report dated February 11th, 2018. And Mr. Romero, is this true or false?
Yes, that's also true.
That's
true. The same one both days, yes.
Good. Correct. It was the same test. Okay. Thank you, sir. Based on Mr. Romero's admission, I move to find him delinquent as he did violate the terms and conditions of supervision and may have lapsed or had lapsed into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agreed.
Okay. Motion by myself, seconded by Mr. Johnson, agreed by Dr. White, Mr. Neal, and Mr. Quinones. And I'm marking this right now, so I do it correctly. Okay. Mr. Romero, back to you. We'll go on to phase two of the hearing, which is probably the part that's of more interest to you, which is do we reinstate your community supervision or revoke that. Before we start that, I'm going to ask Mr. Oliveri to give us some background information about you. So please just stay on the line. We'll be right back with you and ask you more questions, sir. Mr. Oliveri?
Okay. Alfonso Romero was released from the Department of Corrections on November 3rd of 2016. He was arrested in the field by the electronic monitoring unit staff on February 12th of 2018, returned back to DOC custody that same day. He has 0 days abscond. His supervision end date will be on July 3rd of 2018. Current convictions, 2008, 2 counts, sexual exploitation of a minor, receiving 6 years for each count. Prior conviction, in 2002, failure to register as a sex offender, 2 years, 6 months. The offender has two terms with ADC. CU and IR scores are a 3-1, mental health score of a 3, and substance abuse score of a 3. There is no STG game information noted. There are no prior terms of supervision. He has a moderate disciplinary history. There are no other arrests noted. He is a registrable, notifiable, level 3 sex offender with dangerous crimes against children cited, and his community risk level is a G1B2.
Thank you, sir. All right, Mr. Romero, we have a case supervision summary here that indicates that when you were released, you went to live at 10714 West Norton Avenue in Glendale. So you stayed there the whole time you were on supervision?
Yes, I did.
Okay, and who else lives at that house?
When I first moved there, my mother and father lived there. Now it's just my mother.
Okay, so it was your parents' home. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And were you working, sir, when you were out on supervision?
I was working infrequently as a day laborer because it afforded me the opportunity to. My father was sick, and I needed to be available to take him to the hospital and the doctor's appointments and such. So.
Okay. And the day laboring, you could just do work certain days and not have to be tied down to a full-time job?
Correct, ma'am.
Okay. Got it. All right. It looks like you gave quite a number of urine specimens a task, but there were a few that were, there was one that was diluted in May of 2017, and then you went another long stretch from May all the way to December with all negatives, which is a good thing, and then December 6th, you had one come up positive for alcohol. What was going on with that?
It's not really an excuse, but like I told the PO, Mr. Mark Adams, my father had passed away the day before, so when that wound up being positive, I was staffed by the parole office, and you know they basically said, look, we understand, don't do it again, and I had previously came to them with the idea that I needed to attend some kind of relapse prevention program because I saw the red flags. Even before my father passed away, I saw the red flags, you know, just being in a liquor store for no reason, thinking about it, and I approached Mr. Adams about attending relapse prevention. It took me a while to get into a program at Taros. The parole department wanted me to do a different program, which was MRT, and I was going to do that program. I had already done it a couple years before, but I went there and the atmosphere was not conducive. As a sex offender, there was just a bunch of general population inmates there, and the talk was pretty negative towards, you know, other people that were not general population, you know.
Right.
And I didn't feel comfortable, and I said, you know, can I do this other program? So they let me do that, which was beneficial up to a point, obviously. Yeah.
Okay, so they let you go over to Taros instead of the other one.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, it's hard to understand these notes, but when you explain that clarifies a little bit. Okay, and then what happened? I guess you said yourself at that point they said one more time and, you know, don't do it again. And then February 9th of this year, you tested positive again. So what happened there?
Again, there's not really any excuse for my actions. I struggled with alcohol in the past, and I pretty much thought I was done with it. I hadn't drank, even though there were opportunities in prison. Obviously, there's things in prison you can't do. I never took advantage of any of those opportunities, and I thought I was done with drinking, but I think just unresolved issues, maybe having to deal with my father, and then I don't know if it's just the realization that maybe I thought I was getting off parole soon and I would be okay and I'd be able to control it, or I don't know what exactly was going through my mind, but I made that wrong decision, and I'm paying for it, obviously, right now.
Yeah. So it wasn't like a special occasion or anything like that, it was just...
No, I mean, it was, the holidays went by, and it wasn't really any kind of a holiday or special occasion or anything like that,
All right, let's see, just a few more, I've got another little paragraph to read here. Okay, and you completely understand now that while you're on supervision that you cannot be in proximity with a minor children?
Yes, ma'am.
You have a complete understanding of that now. It looks like you had a little bit of a misunderstanding. Okay.
Yeah, I was riding my bike a lot, and I would see, I'd see people here and there, and the discrepancy was some child had waved to me, and it was more like an automatic reaction, like when you yawn, somebody yawns.
Right.
I waved back, and then I kind of went out of my mind, so I didn't really tell anybody about it. And then when I took the polygraph, and that question came up, I started thinking about it, I said, oh, geez, I forgot to tell them about this.
Okay.
This child, so
okay.
That's what happened with the polygraph. And I explained it to the parole office and to the treatment people.
So, sir, were you participating in both sex offender treatment and substance abuse treatment?
Yes, I was.
Okay, so both at the same time at Taros?
I was doing the substance abuse treatment at Taros. The sex offender treatment was through the Arizona Center for Change.
Okay, I got it now. All right. Well, I'm going to see if my fellow board members have any questions for you. Any questions? Okay, Mr. Romero, we're coming toward the end of your hearing, but I want to give you the opportunity to make a final statement to the board if you've got anything else you'd like to tell us before we make a decision.
I just want to thank the parole department for the courtesies that were extended to me during the 15 months that I was on parole. I mean, if it wasn't for community supervision, I wouldn't have been available for my mom for emotional support. I wouldn't have been able to be out there and help my father. And he would have passed away while I was still in prison. So I have to thank everyone for that. And also, my PO, Mark Adams, he was very understanding with regards to my family situation. I really appreciate the help that he gave me, and I feel bad that I let him down. I let myself down and my family down, and obviously I let him down because he was a very understanding parole officer. So I don't know what else to say. I'm looking forward to finishing that Terrell's program whenever I am released. It was a very good program.
Okay,
yeah.
Very good, sir. Well, thank you for your statement, and the board will be going into discussion. We don't discuss cases until we get in this room, and we've not discussed your case before right now. And we do all of our discussion in public. So we just invite you to stay on the phone, listen to the discussion, and we'll be back with you in just a few moments.
Okay.
Okay, sir? So stay on the line. The board is now in discussion. Mr. Romero is an individual who's has had quite a good history with TASC, with lots of urines coming back as negative, but slipped in December, somewhat understandably, when his father passed away, and his parole officer really worked with him and said, one more time, and that's it. And then in February, for no real good reason that he could give us, he drank alcohol again. At this point, I'm not seeing him as a good candidate to return to community supervision, but he's got an end date of July, so he doesn't have all that much longer to do, but I'd be willing to listen to any thoughts. Any additional thoughts? Okay. Thank you. Then I'm going to make a motion based on information in warrant 2018W0417. Our conversation with Mr. Romero, information provided by Mr. Alvary of the Department of Corrections. I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Romero was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal ways or company, specifically by using alcohol while he was on community supervision.
Second. Agreed.
Agreed.
All right, motion by myself, seconded by Mr. Johnson, agreed by Dr. White, Ms. Panuro, and Mr. Quinones. And so back to you, Mr. Romero. You heard the board's discussion, and the board's voted to revoke your community supervision, but you will be released. You've got a release date on or about July 3rd of this year. So we'd urge you, there are programs available within, there's self-study if there's not a group that you can actually attend, but there definitely is substance abuse programming that's available. So we hope you'll take advantage of that. Please accept the board's condolences on behalf of the entire board for your father. We are glad that you were able to be out there and help him. So thank you very much, sir, for participating in your hearing. We thank you again, and your hearing is concluded.
Okay.
If you give the phone back to your CO3, we'd appreciate that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sure.